Well, good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you all. Thank all of you who have participated thus far in our gathering. I'll just say it's great to be invited to be in this place at this time. So thank you. Thank you for being part of this with me. It is an opportunity that keeps my head and my heart in these things in a way that it might not otherwise be. So I look forward to these opportunities, though I don't want them to come very often. I do appreciate the invitation. I hope that this is a good thing for our community as well, and I trust that it will be. So again, I welcome you to, I don't know that proclaim, that word's too big for me these days. I will share some thoughts with you. How's that? I also am pleased with the text. By the way, I'll be reflecting from Acts 2, not from the gospel text. It was interesting. I had not read that gospel text at all, so I heard it with you this morning. I've been paying attention to Acts chapter 2. As a good Church of Christ man, of course I would. Of course, we didn't get to verse 38, so you feel like you're in another tradition's text this morning. And we are, in a sense. We are in the text that our Pentecostal brothers and sisters, who claim this name as identity, Pentecost. It is a text that they are given to, and I have come to appreciate that about them. I think they offer me something, and we'll reflect a little more about that. But let me just thank Kevin for the invitation. Let me also thank Kevin for moving us into what I might call liturgy light, low church liturgy. I love that he's brought us into the Christian year and the calendar, the lectionary text. I think all of that is good for us. It offers us opportunities. And I like the language that Kevin uses when he says that this is the text that's been given to us. When he says that, he recognizes that we're part of a larger tradition. And that tradition gifts us, and one of the gifts is these readings in this three-year cycle that perhaps takes us from time to time to places we wouldn't otherwise go to hear Scripture. Pentecost is one of those that happens every year, and it is the culmination of something that began 13 weeks ago. Someone asked me recently about the church I'm part of, what it's like, how I might characterize it. And without a lot of thought, I heard myself say that this is the best version that I know of trying to live out the way of Christ. Okay. And that just came out of me in response. And I don't think that what I meant was that we were the greatest of anything in particular, though there's much greatness in the community here. But I think what I was reflecting is that I believe we are a people who attempt to live as a community of the gospel in our world, for our God, and for one another. And I think we embrace our humanity in our effort to do that. I appreciate every week our welcome, and that we remind ourselves, and hopefully we communicate to those who are with us, that our intention is to welcome all people. By the way, this Acts 2 text is an all people text. It is the Spirit of God poured out on all flesh. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Another rendering. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Good old Eugene. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we come together today on Pentecost. By the way, the liturgical color for Pentecost is red. It's the best I could do with that. I wanted to reference Paul's words in Romans 5, just in case I get off track. I want you to know that's what I intend. It is this love of God poured forth upon all of us, upon all creation, I hope to capture. And this Acts 2 text is preeminently a text about the presence and preeminence of the Spirit, which I think is such a good thing for us in our tradition. It's a good thing for me. Part of what I want to do in my introduction, a little background there, is also offer a blessing. And this blessing comes from Jan Richardson. It's a Pentecost blessing. Bill asked me earlier, what do you have for us today, Lou? Two poems and a prayer? Not far off. I do have a full-time job now other than this. So here's our first poem, Bill. It's a blessing from Jan Richardson. She uses the metaphor of breath to call attention to the coming of the Spirit. Pentecost celebrates this transformative moment in the life of the people of God, and we reclaim that. And I've asked my liturgical partner, who is also wearing red, to come up and read it for us. I may be throwing us off in the back there. Uh-huh.
When we breathe together, a blessing for Pentecost Day. This is the blessing we cannot speak by ourselves. This is the blessing we cannot summon by our own devices, cannot shape to our purpose, cannot bend to our will. This is the blessing that comes when we leave behind our aloneness, when we gather together, when we turn toward one another. This is the blessing that blazes among us when we speak the words strange to our ears, when we finally listen into the chaos, when we breathe together at last.
Thank you. What I like about Jan's words here is her effort to capture something that is really beyond final or complete description. If you could imagine with me for a moment, imagine something happening here to us. It doesn't necessarily even have to be all the wind, the fire, but something that was so compelling to us, so taken us out of our norm, that we really weren't sure what to do with it. We weren't sure what was happening. And perhaps there would be people here, even this morning, among us, who would scowl at it and be utterly confused, perhaps get up and walk out, and others aglow with it. And then imagine trying to describe that, not only for yourself, to your own satisfaction, but to others who hadn't been there. I think there's a little bit of that in Acts 2. I mean, if you try to put it together as a picture, as you even try to put it together and make sense of what happened in any coherent way other than the words that we hear from Peter, it eludes description. And I think it does so because there's both mystery here and revelation, and perhaps revelation of a mystery that is too big to capture, too much for us, too wondrous, and yet it has become our experience. And I think Jan tries to capture that this is something that is not a private matter. It didn't happen to one person in a closet, on their own, on a mountaintop. It happens within a community, gathered together with one another. And it's something that is not induced by the humans who experience it. It's not something that they've conjured up, that they've created. The best that they have done to experience this is to come together to wait and perhaps to pray from time to time. And yet it seems that as you notice it, there does seem to be, and I think again she calls our attention to this, the requirement of our participation. If we're fully going to experience this, it seems to require something, at least an openness on our part. So I invite you again to that mystery, to that transcendence. As I said, it was 13 weeks ago that we began this journey on Ash Wednesday. Do you remember that Ash Wednesday was on Valentine's Day? What an odd coincidence. If you could imagine having a romantic dinner, Alpha and Lewis, candles, Lewis looking into Alpha's eyes, then attending to her forehead. Hey, baby, I've got some ashes here. From dust to dust. What an odd coincidence. And yet, I was invited to reflect a little bit about that. And what I came up with was bringing these together to recognize that Lent calls us to this loving act of relinquishment. That we are called to life, that we have life breathed into us by another. And that part of being created by another and living out of this source other than ourselves is to relinquish ourselves to that reality. And to do so knowing that we're relinquishing ourselves to love. So the traditional language from dust to dust, and I tweaked it a little bit to think of it in this way, and I claim it for us today, that not only did we come from dust and to dust we will return, but we came from love. That's the broader, the deeper context, and to love we will return. And isn't that a wonderful twist of, I think, a good tradition? I think it's good to know we're creatures and that there will be a time when our life here does end. It's a gift to us. But I think it's more important to know that we came from love, and it is to love that we will return. One of the things I so appreciate about Kevin is his consistent focus on that. He captures that. It seems like so many of his lessons lead to something like that, or some facet of that reality, that we are invited once again to remind ourselves, to remind others, and to live out of this reality that we have come from love, that we are beloved. We are beloved. Alf and I had the wonderful annual gift of going to be with our granddaughters first week in May. I know you missed us, so I'm telling you where we were. And what's best about that week is their parents aren't with them, or with us for that matter. We get to be with the girls on our own. And so we get reacquainted because they live in Texas. And the wonderful depth, beauty, and goodness of being a grandparent is affected a bit when they live in Texas. And it's not just Texas. It is in part that it is Texas, but not completely. They're just away from us. And so we become reacquainted that week. And we get to see what they're doing. And our firstborn grandchild, Riley Kate, 16 years old. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but she is brilliant. All of our grandchildren are, but she is brilliant. And so I just love listening to her, being with her. I also get to witness, she has a special relationship with Alpha. And so I get to watch that, and I love that for both of them. Well, while we were there this year, Riley was inducted into the Honor Society, which is an impressive thing. You have to have a 94% average. And this young woman takes all honors classes and has been doing so since sixth grade. She's brilliant. And in her brilliance, and I want her to know how proud I am of her accomplishments and her success. But I also am concerned that she doesn't think that I love her more because of her success. I want her to know that my love precedes and transcends anything she will ever do. I think that's what the Spirit is about. The Spirit that is poured out upon all creation. That the love of God precedes and transcends all that we could ever be or do. Briefly, a couple of reflections on Acts 2 in that broader context. That to be a people who are enlivened and live out the reality of the presence of the Spirit of God and the provision of God that attends us. There's a couple things that I want to reflect on. The first is, I think this is a community that learns how to live with openness. That learns how to live with openness. If you imagine Peter and the rest living out, articulating, even proclaiming this gospel that in some ways is beyond them. You remember in Acts 10 when Peter sees the Spirit fall upon people, he's not anticipating it, he's not expecting it, it doesn't fit with his worldview, it doesn't fit with his convictions, and yet it happens. That's just one example of, I think, many examples of the work of God happening in ways that surprise the community of God. And they are surprising. And I think we're encouraged to be a people of the Spirit who are a people who learn and sometimes have to relearn what it means to be open to the way of God and to recognize at times God is ahead of us. God is beyond us always. But God is also bringing us along. When I think back on my life and living through years and change, and I think about all of the changes in my way of thinking, my understanding, limited as it is, it's surprising to me the journey I've been on. Something as simple as, you know, last week we gave attention to Mother God, and that's pretty common language for us. I know it may ruffle you a little bit, but we've become, for the most part, a community that speaks about Mother God as a way of affirming the feminine, the reality, the presence, the goodness, the gift. We've embraced it as a way, the Christian traditions embrace it as a way of reminding us, perhaps teaching us, that God is not male. And that to think of God in terms of being male is reductive. It's not what we believe. And so when we say Mother God, and it's nice that we can recognize that there's scriptures where God affirms God's femininity. But you take that in and you begin to practice it and use the language, singing, praying, and it becomes part of, well, I would say 40 years ago, I probably wouldn't have thought that that would ever happen. Or women in leadership is something that I think required an openness to the Spirit. And I want to say how thankful I am that I get to serve as a shepherd in this community along with Wendy Wolfgang and Linda and Carolyn. And that those women not only lead us as shepherds, but they continue to allow men to lead as shepherds. And we're the ones who mucked it up so much that you would think maybe not. That we're able to receive the gift that we didn't receive in those particular ways in all of my experience. And that continues to be the norm in so much of the Christian tradition. I'm thankful, for one, that I lived in a time where we as a community have learned and continue to learn better than that. I think it requires openness to do that, a willingness to rethink, to hear afresh, to see the Spirit of God poured out upon somebody in some way perhaps I'm not ready for. Sexuality is another area where, if you would ask me 40 years ago, I don't think I could have imagined the ways that I would have changed the way I think about that. Because of experience, reflection, I believe openness to the leading of the Spirit of God. And I am thankful I lived long enough that I could become an ally and a friend to people who are cast out and rejected and live with a level of, you're not quite what you're supposed to be, or you're not in any way what you're supposed to be. And I love that I've lived long enough and been part of a community where I could learn better. And as Maya would say, therefore we do better when we learn better. An openness to the Spirit. A few things to think about. I think Acts chapter 2 initiates that process that is going on even today. Sometimes in very surprising ways, always in what ways that are resonant with this gospel and resonant with this Christ. And immersed in this Spirit of love that's been poured out upon us. I also think, and I'm going to skip these other quickly, these other two points of reflection, is that it encourages us to be a community that focuses on experience. That the pouring out of the Spirit here is not simply conceptualized. In fact, the conceptualizations can be confusing. But the experience of this love, this life-changing love, is the focal point of the Spirit poured out upon us. And that to take seriously my experience and at the same time to take seriously your experience is the encouragement of the Spirit of God. You remember in Acts, you have this collection of diverse people and they come together. And whatever happens, happens to them, out of which they begin speaking. And when they speak, everybody there, though they come from different backgrounds, different native languages, they somehow, I don't know how, they somehow are able to hear each other and hear in their own language. And what you have is this inclusivity that continues to respect and hold on to diversity. You remember unity and diversity, and that phrase kind of had a life, and you don't hear it much anymore. I don't hear it. That's good language. The only true unity that we will ever have as humans is in diversity. And somehow we convinced ourselves, or others convinced us, that the unity that we were called to was to be identical and to be the same. Which is not only impractical and unattainable for humans, to me, it's dismissive of the way of God, who is the author of all the diversity. It is from God. Can you imagine how different the world would be? I said I was going to just introduce these and move on, but apparently not. Can you imagine how different the world would be if all of the Christian denominations and traditions saw one another as different, enriching reflections of this which is too big to be contained in any one expression? Can you imagine if we treated and welcomed one another that way? And then in learning how to do that with Catholics, with Baptists, with Pentecostal, charismatic, learning how to treat them as brothers and sisters, would be a way of practicing not only the story, but teaching us how then to relate to people from other religions and no religion in ways that affirm that they are beloved of God, unconditional. No matter what they think or understand, no matter what they accomplish, in the same way I love my little Riley, God loves all creation. God loves all creation. Not because we figured anything out, but because God created us to be loved and as beloved ones. I believe it is the work, the presence, the ongoing guidance of the Spirit that could lead us in this way. And I think Acts 2, the beauty of that text with all those languages. By the way, Donnie shot right through all of those. What an impressive thing, Donnie. You just ran at it too, man. It was like, whew. If you missed any, we wouldn't have known. They're all there for that very reason, that we would recognize and even stumble over them because they matter. Because they matter to God. Last point. It is intended to be communal. It is intended not to be your personal relationship with God, but a community of the Spirit in which we find our individual experiences. But I think it's fundamentally community. It's called into relationship with others by the one who is other. That's the gift of Pentecost that we've come to celebrate. I took longer than I really wanted to, but you know, I don't get up here often. I want to end with another poem, Bill. And I don't know, you know how technology works here? I'm hoping that you can hear it. It's another Pentecost poem. This is by Malcolm Gait, who to me is an eccentric, loving Christian man. He was so eccentric when I first encountered him. I only saw his name in print. I knew he was too exotic to be called Malcolm Gait. So I came up with the fact that his last name must be Guidi. Don't ask me why, but he's Malcolm Gait. He has a lovely heart, an amazing gift with language, and I hope we get to hear him share Pentecost.
Here is a sonnet I have written for the Feast of Pentecost. Today we feel the wind beneath our wings. Today the hidden fountain flows and plays. Today the church draws breath at last and sings as every flame becomes a tongue of praise. This is the feast of fire, air, and water poured out and breathed and kindled into earth. The earth herself awakens to her maker, translated out of death and into birth. The right words come today in their right order, and every word spells freedom and release. Today, the gospel crosses every border. All tongues are loosened by the Prince of Peace. Today, the lost are found in his translation, whose mother tongue is love in every nation.
Boy, I love that. I've heard this a few times now. I love the imagination of that. Whose mother tongue is love in every nation. This is a gift to creation. And far be it for us to somehow make it an exclusive reality. This is an ongoing, inclusive, life-wide invitation. And I invite you once again to Pentecost. Amen.